Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
Hello, I'm Monash Mehta, editor in the Cochrane Editorial and Methods Department. Dysmenorrhea is the medical name given to painful uterine cramps of menstrual origin, which is also known as period pain. There are several Cochrane reviews of ways that might ease this, and the one investigating the benefits of exercise was updated in September 2019. Here's one of the authors, Jane Chalmers from Western Sydney University in Australia, to tell us what it found.
Dysmenorrhea or period pain is a huge problem worldwide, with over two-thirds of women under the age of 25 reporting it. This has impacts on quality of life, causing absence from school and work, and reduced participation in sport and social activities. Most women attempt to manage their pain with over-the-counter medications such as ibuprofen and paracetamol, or through self-care strategies such as rest and the application of heat, but all of them with little success. Physical activity has long been advocated as an alternative, and we did this review to get a better understanding of the conflicting evidence on its effectiveness. And we found that it's probably worth trying. We identified 12 randomised trials involving nearly 900 women. The studies were mostly from Iran and India, with 4 and 3 studies respectively, but also included research in Egypt, Korea, New Zealand and the USA. A range of types of exercise have been tested, with 4 studies comparing high-intensity exercise to no exercise, 6 comparing low-intensity exercise to no exercise, and 1 comparing low-intensity exercise to non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or NSAIDs. Forms of exercise included treadmill training, Zumba, yoga, stretching, and core strengthening. The frequency of exercise varied from 1 to 6 times per week, with sessions lasting between 10 and 60 minutes. When we combine the results of the higher quality studies in a meta-analysis, this showed that both low and high-intensity exercise seemed to have large effects on the severity of menstrual pain compared to no exercise, although the effect on overall menstrual symptoms and quality of life is much less clear. There's a lot of uncertainty around the comparison of exercise with NSAIDs, so we don't know whether exercise reduces menstrual pain, the use of rescue analgesic medication, or absence from work or school any more or less than these drugs do. In summary, we've shown that there's some low-quality evidence to suggest that exercise, performed for 45 to 60 minutes at least 3 times a week, may provide a clinically significant reduction in menstrual pain intensity. Given this finding, as well as the overall health benefits of regular exercise and the relatively low risk of adverse events reported in the general population, it seems reasonable for women to consider using exercise to manage their menstrual pain. In the future, we need more research of higher quality to determine the optimal type, timing, and dosage of exercise to maximise these reductions in pain.
To find out more about the types of exercise that have been tested in the randomised trials to date, and to watch for future updates of this review, if the new studies become available, go online to cochranelibrary.com and search Exercise for Period Pain to find the full review.